We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
I was wrong. And I honestly, if I were an anonymous person, I would give her feedback that she needs to put different pictures on her profile because she looks much better in person than she does in her profile photos. And
well, don't tell her. Other people.
No, that will never come out of my mouth. But
yeah. You shut your mouth, Zach. All right. Yeah. But mark this day, January 15, 2024. A man had openly admitted he was wrong on a podcast.
Yes.
All right. I like you a lot, Zach, so wrong. Far.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie Jackson, back with my co-host,
Erica Spira.
Hello. I am so excited, first of all, to chat with our guests later, but also I need to know how the phone call intros have been going for you. We need an update.
Okay. So, phone call intros. I'm a little hit or miss on them. I'm not going to lie, but I guess that's the point, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that's... Regardless of the outcome, they're probably a success. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. So overall, I am a fan. I will say I'm a fan.
Great.
Do I think I will always do this with every date? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I do like it. I do think it's a great time saver. I mean, one guy I had something scheduled with. We had a day. We had a time. I followed up. I found out Hinge, you can't call through the app anymore, which fine by me. So I was like, oh. Hey, you know, you still good. Here's my number. Unmatch me.
Out of control. Out of control.
So,
crime.
I mean, I don't know why. They were all about it. They were very excited. They liked the 2024 efficiency energy, I guess. So I was like, all right, I guess that one's an L. We'll take an L for that.
Yeah.
And then I did have one phone call. We were supposed to go out again 2 days later. And then... I would assume someone doing a phone call, right, is somebody that wants to go on a date, maybe is dating a little more intentionally.
You would think.
You would think. Suddenly the next night before we were supposed to go out, things took a little bit of a turn of kind of some late night texting.
Mm.
I got into it on Patreon where I was just like, oh,
I don't think
we're looking for the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I've said this 1,000 times where it's like men will just talk themselves out of pussy. Okay. I'll put it point blank. They will just talk themselves out of it. So maybe the phone call is the best idea of 2024 for myself where I'm like, I will let you talk yourself out of it.
Yeah. Right. Like I'm going to give you the opportunity to talk yourself out of a date. Ready, go.
Ready, go. Here's your opportunity. Okay. You blew it. It's the date was lined up for the next day and you couldn't just wait till then. You never know what's going to happen. All right.
We've said it before. The date is the foreplay. There's no telling what's going to happen at the end of that foreplay, but we got to get there first.
Right. Yeah. Like, I was feeling this guy. I probably would have made out with you, but you got to go and ruin it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm trying on the phone calls. I don't dislike them. And then I ended up going on 2 dates that actually were not phone call people, so that's why my general results are somewhat inconclusive.
Yeah, I mean, you could say to, like, you know, put a good spin on it, you could say that the flaky guy who unmatched you after scheduling a phone call and the booty text guy, whatever you want to call, that, like, those people probably weren't going to work out anyway, and so you didn't spend time with them in person.
Exactly. So I went into more detail on Patreon, and one date I had this week was just real took a turn. I'm just going to keep that Patreon only.
Several turns.
I want to get into it again.
Yeah. No, yeah, we just do not. Like, we do not need to. As one
we
of
do
the,
not need to.
As one of the members of the Discord said, I have never gasped and groaned so many times listening to a Patreon episode. And I agree. I agree with her assessment. Yeah.
That one was tough. So anyway, I've been abusing some Sunset Lake CBD a little bit this week.
Those who follow my Instagram stories know that I had quite the busy Saturday this past week, and we'll get into that. But same, because I've been kind of go, 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 and I've really needed some good sleep.
Yeah. And they have a new product coming out, because I've talked about their melatonin tinctures, right?
Yeah.
They have a new product coming out that if melatonin is not your vibe, you don't really fuck with it. All right. They are not only having a tincture sale coming up, which is 35% off all tinctures, but they have a new product that is for sleep without the melatonin.
It's so good. It's called Goodnight CBD Oil. It's available now. Their tincture sale is going on now. 35% off all tinctures, including this one. It's a melatonin-free nighttime CBD oil option. And as a dedicated fan of the melatonin drops and the sleep gummies, I can tell you that this works just as well. I don't personally have any negative side effects from melatonin, but I know a lot of people do. And a lot of people have asked us, with Sunset Lake, you know, is there another option? And now there is.
Yeah. So maybe you're fired up after a date like I was, and you need a little bit of CBD to help you calm down a bit. So if you haven't tried one of their tinctures yet, they have it for everything. Sleep, regular, they have different dosages. So go head on over to sunsetlakecbd.com, use the promo code tincture for 35% off, which is more than we usually give you. And it's going on until January 25th. So it's happening right now.
Happening now. And if you want to do something besides the tinctures, you can always use our code FMH20. That'll get you 20% off. But try those tinctures. It's a great time.
It is. So anyway, I got to throw it over to you because you had a boatload of a weekend.
Oh, that I did. That I did. So first, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. We've talked before about like how late will you accept a date update, or like how late will you accept a date, or like how late after you haven't heard from someone, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I talked about how I had a date set up for Saturday afternoon. This was the guy that had proposed that soul release dance party, and I pivoted us to a coffee date.
Yep.
So we had a time and a place, 2 p.m. Saturday, coffee place in Brooklyn. We didn't talk then throughout, this was like, I think, Tuesday. We didn't talk throughout the rest of the week, preferable.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But then we get to Saturday morning and I realize like I haven't talked to this guy. I want to make sure that he's going to be there.
Right.
It's been 5 days. So I messaged him in the morning and said, I didn't say, hey, are we still on? Because I like to be, you know, more like positive confirmation. And I mm-hmm. said, hey, I'm looking forward to later, you know, see you 2 p.m. at place, you know, et cetera. Right. And then I didn't hear anything.
Oh.
And it was getting
at all.
And it was getting closer and closer to the time when I would need to not only start getting ready, but actually leave.
Right.
And so I wasn't sure. Like, I was so nervous, honestly, because I was like, I feel like this could turn into a situation where he shows up and now I'm the asshole because we had a time and a place, but he never replied to me.
Yeah, if you don't reply, fair. Fair to not show.
I thought so, but I also was just anxious about that happening.
Yeah, I would be.
So we get closer, and he texted me back, like, probably right around the time when I would have left.
Saying what?
Saying, yeah, see you there.
Oh.
So at this point...
Did you go? Or no?
Well, I'm on my couch. I'm wearing a sweatsuit and no makeup on my couch.
Oh, shit.
At the time when I would have had to leave.
Mm.
So I wrote back and I said, like, oh, shoot. I didn't hear back from you. So I actually didn't start getting ready, but I can be there by 3 if that works for you.
Yeah. Okay. So just like, I'm going to be late now.
Yeah. And he's all like, right. And then he said something like, oh, I would never stand you up, but I totally understand.
Okay.
Like, right. Yes, I can do that. See you at 3. So fine.
Okay. So saved it.
Saved it. Yeah. I was worried he was going to be mad, which would have been a red flag if he was mad. But I was just kind of a little anxious that it was going to turn into a negative interaction. It didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So got ready. Went to the date. We're calling him the biker. And I'll explain why on Patreon.
I'm like, did he bike to the date?
Not like that other time when that guy biked and was like so sweaty.
Yeah. I mean, props for biking anywhere because I couldn't. But anyway, yeah. Continue.
No, not for that same reason. But I will talk about that on Patreon. So on the way to the date, I was, you know, looking up how to get there, best whatever, like, all right, I'm gonna take a bus, etc. Come to find out that this place is closed in between 3 and 4.
Oh, wonderful. Great timing.
Yeah. So I texted him again and was like, hey, I'm on my way. Heads up, though, it's closed at the exact hour that we wanted to be there. Mm. So he picked a new place, but he said, hey, let's still meet out in front of that one, and then we'll walk over to the other place. So I said, great. Great vibe right away. We were laughing almost immediately. Like, something happened on the street that we both thought was funny, and then we were laughing. Like, really great vibe. He very seamlessly bought my coffee and offered if I wanted to get any food, and I got a little like croissant thing and didn't make it awkward. You know, we've talked about how like that scenario where you're ordering at a register can be awkward sometimes.
Yeah, very.
Yeah. Didn't make it awkward at all. He like walked up to the register and then like turned to me and said, what would you like? Like, it was very clear from the beginning that he was going to buy it, which I appreciated that clarity.
Yeah. Also, as he should, is my opinion.
Yeah. Continue. Yeah, I liked it. Not an expectation on my end, but I just appreciated there wasn't like awkwardness about it.
Can I pause your story for a sec?
Of course.
If you go on a coffee date and the dude just pays for himself, are you at all turned off?
Probably. On a coffee date in that setting. Yeah, probably.
Right. Because it's this, I understand the mentality of like, I don't expect. But at the same time, I'm like, fair to be turned off, though.
I think so, yeah. I think it's different for me than if we're getting drinks and the check comes and we're going to, like, split it. Because it's like, it just, it feels different. It's also obviously a different price point.
Right, but I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting because I'm very, like, do what you want in this area. For me, I'm like... It's a big no for me. Of like, you can't even buy my coffee, you know? So that's why I want to be like, it's fair to be turned off. You don't have to justify it. Like, not that I was expecting. I'm like, but you are a little bit, you know?
But for me, I agree with you. It is fair to be turned off. And I probably would have been in the coffee date situation. But I am also normally on first dates totally down to split. Like, that is not a turn off for me.
No, I know.
So I agree with you. It is fair.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a sidetrack. Continue. Yeah.
So then we like went to the back, found a table, sat down, chatted for probably an hour. Super easy conversation. We have some things in common. We both love traveling. He's actually also going to Costa Rica soon. He's also going to Cartagena soon, and I have a lot of recs. So really easy conversation in that sense. Also some things that we very much don't have in common. Could have guessed this by his suggestion to do that soul release dance party thing. He's a burner.
What do you mean a burner?
Goes like, to Burning Man.
Oh, that's what I was they like, call them. Smokes weed? I was like, what is
no,
burner? What is
no, no, no. They call I was like, what's burner?
Like he goes every year.
I don't think he goes every year, but he's been several times and like enjoys it and does things, other things like that. For example, the thing he's doing in Costa Rica is like a wellness retreat type of thing.
Okay. So he's a little more woo-woo.
Very much so.
A little
very
more LA so. Than New York.
Yes. Okay. Though he's lived here for even longer than I have. Older also. I forgot to mention that. He's in his early 40s.
Nice.
So that I was like, okay, we're not aligned there, but we don't have to have all the same interests. That's fine. We're having a good time. I'm enjoying the conversation. Not sure if there's a romantic vibe or a friend vibe at that point, but I'm like, I liked talking to this guy. I would totally go out with him again.
Yeah. I mean, if you have fun on a coffee date, I feel like good sign. Because it is essentially, at its core, a little bit of a boring date. Not that that's wrong, but it's a little boring, you know?
I agree. Yeah. And that's another reason why I think it's just a lot easier to feel that more friend vibe.
Yep. 100%.
And so when I'm like, this is why I don't really like coffee dates as a first date, though it was my suggestion, but it was really just I panicked. It was the only thing I could think of besides the Solaris dance party.
Yeah. And you had a cram day. You're like, what can I fit in?
Okay. Yeah. Easy. It was also freezing that day. So the like walk and talk wasn't really an option. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I then went to get my first manicure of the year where I do the like Pantone color of the year. I do it every January. I told him about that and that's where I was going. And he was like, oh, send me a picture. Hope they have the right color.
Cute.
Never. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, totally will. Great. Send him the picture. He doesn't reply.
Nothing.
Nothing. The whole night.
Oh, damn.
So I'm like, okay. I'm like, now I'm struggling with whether to finish this story in full or to go in chronological order of my evening. What do you think?
Well, I'm curious. Have you heard from him today? This is 2 days later.
Yes. So I guess okay. I'll finish this story in full and then I'll go back.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So not ghosted, but
no, didn't respond to the text that he asked for.
Yeah. That's very odd.
So weird.
His track record on text right now is in the toilet.
Yeah. It's not great. Did hear from him the next day and he sent me a no ghosting text that he didn't feel a spark.
Use the word spark.
He used the word spark.
All right, man. It's a coffee date.
That's what I'm saying. The reason I don't like coffee dates. I'm like, maybe we would have felt the spark at the soul release dance party. We'll never know.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I wasn't dancing up on you to make myself sparky. That sucks because it sounds like you were very down for another date.
I was very down for another date. And like the thing that also, and I didn't obviously say this to him. I just said like, thanks for letting me know, you know, take care, whatever. I agreed. I also didn't feel a spark, but right. Like I wanted to go out to like see if that could develop. It's just like a bummer that not everybody dates that way, especially yeah, guys.
Or it's like, do we also just use it as an easy excuse?
Oh, possibly. Yeah.
You know, because it's like he could have just said, I wasn't feeling the connection. Not for something sure. I can argue with. You know, I can't argue with spark. I can't argue with connection.
No, definitely. I was a little bummed that he didn't mention the nails.
Yeah, that's very odd. It's almost like he was like, I'll get you to reach out to me so I can then reject you.
Right.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Didn't even say anything about the nails. I'm like, but what about you think about the color match, though?
Yeah, you couldn't compliment sandwich me? Nails look great. By the way, I wasn't feeling a spark.
Don't want to date
anyway,
you.
Anyway. Yeah, don't want to date you. Good luck with blah, blah, blah. Hope sure you have fun in Costa Rica. Damn. I know. So, I'm sorry, dude. That just sucks.
So that's the biker. So that happened. So then I went to get my nails done and had a singles mixer that I was going to with Jigsaw Dating that I mentioned last week.
Yeah. How was the turnout? You were a little worried.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what to expect. I found out that morning that I got another ticket. So the dating app had reached out to me about this event. Mm-hmm. It's not a partnership or anything, but like they were just like, hey, we'd love for you to come out, whatever. And so I was like, yeah, sure. I'll check it out. Found out the morning of that I had another ticket. So I invited a friend of mine and I was pleasantly surprised by this event.
Oh, good. Was it just in a bar? What was the setting again?
It was at Spin Midtown, which is a ping pong bar. Like it's a bar that has ping pong.
I did not know this existed. I would add this to my first date list immediately.
It's a great spot. There's several locations in Manhattan, at least two, maybe not several. I believe that Susan Sarandon is involved in some way. Either like founded it or like she's one of the investors.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Shout out to Susan.
I'm going to look this up because Susan Sarandon ping pong.
I'm like, is she sober?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. She
we need
did.
More
she,
sober
she
co-founded options
it.
For dates.
She co-founded it. How Susan Sarandon became a ping pong mogul. Okay. Anyway. So great date spot. Great date spot. And I loved the idea for a mixer because similar to why it's great for a date, there was like not so much focus on you have to talk to people the entire time. It was like, oh, we're chatting. You want to play a game of ping pong?
Right. Exactly.
So great. They gave out wristbands based on who you were interested in, like men, women, anybody. And oh, so sorry. You could...
For a minute, I was like, wow, you got to be like, I like number 7. Sorry.
Oh, God. No.
Sorry. My brain was
so
like,
you could
wow.
just very easily oh. scan the crowd, see who's, you know, interested in you, basically, yeah. and like kind of know, you know, who to strike up conversations with. They also gave out little like icebreaker questions. And it was great. It was fairly small. I would say probably like 30 people there or so.
That's a good size, though.
But
pretty
yeah,
even ratio?
I think so. Probably more women than men, but not in a way that was like, oh shit, there's so many women here.
Yeah. That's nice.
And skewed a little bit older than some of the dating events that I've been to.
That's very interesting, especially with the ping pong vibes.
Yeah. So it was like more so 30s. I would peg most people as probably in their 30s.
Good. We need more stuff for 30s.
I totally agree. So it was fun. Didn't meet any like, you know, romantic prospects, but I had a good time, had some good conversations. My friend had a great time. Played some great ping pong. Actually, it reminded me of the book, the Have Him at a Low book that we reviewed the other week about
wait,
beating
what part?
Men.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's what I figured. Don't be competitive.
I beat one of the guys 21-4.
Oh, damn. That's no mercy right there.
I wasn't, like, I am good at ping pong.
Yeah.
I have long arms.
Yeah, hell of a wingspan over there.
Yeah, hell of a wingspan. I'm good at ping pong. And so it wasn't like I was trying to crush him, but he was just, like, very bad.
Yeah. How did he act when he lost?
Very good sport. Like, both of us were great. I did notice, though, there were a couple games there that got a little contentious, like, from people that were not either good winners or good losers. And it, again, reminded me of the book. I'm like, let's temper that down a little bit, where this is not a sexy vibe.
Yeah, or be competitive, but don't be a dick. That's the point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I heard somebody yell at one point, like, oh, that was awful.
Jesus.
Like, all right, people.
Okay. Yeah. We could calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon would not approve of this, okay?
No. Yeah.
We're embarrassing Susan.
Right. Keep Susan in mind here, all right? Let's have some decorum for Susan.
Yeah.
But the event was great. Highly recommend this. I think this was their first New York event, so hopefully they have more.
Oh, nice.
I liked it. Tickets are only like $20 also, and it included a welcome drink.
Wow, that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
Is there any, this is always my question with any of these events, is there any follow-up to help you connect with maybe somebody you talk to at the event? Or it's like in person, you got to get the number, you got to make a move.
Not at this one in particular. There was a host there who was kind of facilitating people to talk.
That's good.
Like, yeah. She was, and me and my friend were kind of doing that on our own. But she was like going up to groups with the little icebreaker questions and being like, here are some questions. Like, let's go talk to this group, and facilitating, which was cool.
Yeah, that's nice. It's almost like, you know, at bat mitzvahs, how they hire people to get people to dance.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. We need that at a singles mixer. Somebody's like, hey, what are we doing? Let me dance on
exactly.
Over. Come on.
Exactly. So it was great. So that was very fun. Backing up a little bit, though, on the way to the singles mixer, I got a message. We talked on Patreon at length about the league.
Yes. Yes, we did. Because their tiers are insane.
Wild. If you want to hear about some insane pricing concepts, check out this week's Patreon. Another reason why everybody was gasping is because of the league's pricing. I use the league for free. I've not had that much success on it. I'm not about to pay, but I have not used that much. I have not had that much success on it. I had, however, a couple matches coming out of Dating App Sunday.
For the league, specifically?
The last week, through the league, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so I'd been talking to one of those guys for a couple days, and he messaged me on my way to the singles mixer and said, hey, I know it's super short notice, but any chance you're free for a drink tonight?
Oh, all right. I don't hate that.
And no, I don't hate it at all. And so I wrote back and said, yeah, actually, I have an event until 8, but I'm down to grab a drink after that if, you know, that timing works for you. And so he said, yeah. He said he asked me where the event was and, you know, kind of like what would be convenient. I gave him, you know, some neighborhood direction, and he picked a place. And so I said, okay, great. And I said, he's like, yeah, just text me when you're leaving the event. Let me know, like, you know, what your timing looks like, and I'll see you there.
I love that. All right. And he came to you. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, I ended up going back into Brooklyn. He also lives in Brooklyn, but in a different neighborhood than I do. And so I basically was like, here are the trains that I'm going to be taking to get home. And he picked a place that was like somewhat convenient for me on that route.
But nice. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Very nice. So met up with him. We're going to call him Pie Guy.
All right. Pie Guy.
Pie Guy. And interestingly, he also, well, the other guy was doing Dry January. Pie Guy doesn't drink at all.
Man, you're on a little bit of a sober streak here with dudes.
I am. And I actually am currently accidentally doing Dry January.
I saw you post about that. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, I'm calling it Damp January. I am going at a bachelorette party at the end of the month that certainly won't be dry. So I'm not like married to not drinking until then at all. But just so happens that that's how it's been going. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of nice. So that worked out. We met up. First bar that he had picked was like crazy crowded. So he was like, oh, I know another spot around the corner. Let's walk there. Really easy vibe right from the jump. I really enjoyed hanging with him.
Good. A little flirty?
It was great. It was a little flirty. The bar was like really dim. We were sitting across from each other. So it was like not as, you know, like mm-hmm. in each other's space. But the bar had these like little Trivial Pursuit cards. And so we were like asking each other some questions back and forth. He knows some random trivia that was very impressive.
Yeah, that would terrify me. I'd panic.
Oh, I love Trivial Pursuit.
Like, unless it's about music, I'm like, please don't. Please don't. If it's about music, the Gulf War, I'll just skip it. Skip.
I love Trivial Pursuit. So that was very fun. And he was also, he was the one who like came back with the cards. He went to the bar to get our drinks. And I had this like most delicious virgin hot toddy.
Oh, I like a hot toddy.
I do too. And they basically, it was like tea with cinnamon, but it was really good.
I like tea is what I just said.
I love tea. Anyway, he went to the bar to get our drinks and he came back with the cards. He was like, I love Trivial Pursuit. Do you want to do some of these? So we had that in common.
All right.
And yeah, had a great time. Did that. We were there for probably like over an hour, I would say. And then that was really fun. So then he was walking me. He was going to walk me to the train. And then he was like, hey, he's like, do you want to go? We were like in Brooklyn close to the water. And he was like, do you want to go like look at the water for a second?
Oh,
it was really cold and I did not want to. I said no.
He wanted to kiss you.
Well, first of all, I didn't know if I wanted to kiss him in that moment. But oh, okay. Second of all, I just didn't want to.
He didn't give a fuck about the water, Allie.
Well, I didn't want to.
He knew it was cold. You know, that's like the coffee thing. Coffee doesn't mean coffee. Coffee means sex. You know?
So anyway, I said, and I was like, to be honest, I'm actually just really cold and like, I just like kind of want to get home, but I really had a great time. Like I like, overemphasized, like, this is not me trying to run away from you.
Yeah. Like you're like, trying to give the vibe, like, I want to go out again.
I want to go out again. Like, I just don't want to do that one particular thing right now, but I do want to see you again.
Oh, okay.
So he was like, yeah, totally fine. I get it. It's freezing. So he walks into the train. Again, I didn't really want to kiss him in that moment. I actually am attracted to him, but I just wasn't feeling like I wanted to kiss him in that moment.
Fair.
So I initiated a hug so that it would be like not awkward. I accidentally patted him on the back a few times during the hug.
Allie.
I know.
No.
I know.
Why don't you just pat him on the fucking head, dude? What are you doing?
So I'm like, I declined the water walk, and then I gave him a good old pat on the back.
Oh my god. Oh, I'm cringing right now. I'm so sorry.
So
I can't look at you, Allie. I can't look at you right now.
So
I had a really, really great time, buddy.
This is what happens when I have a tea.
Yeah, you have a tea, really turns you into a grandma.
It was like a sleepy time tea. It's my bedtime routine. Quite literally, my bedtime routine is to have a cup of tea.
Oh God.
Anyway, so he was like, will you let me know when you get home? And I said, yeah, definitely. I am notorious for forgetting to do that with men, with friends, with my mom. Like I'm just notorious for forgetting to tell people I've arrived home. So the entire way home, because I knew that I had given him two signals that I was not interested. Yeah. The entire way home, I'm like, text this man when you get home, text this man when you get home, text this man when you get home, text this man when you get home. Like, just like repeating it to myself over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remembered. I did.
Good. Okay. So you set that up like you were going to be like, and then I forgot. I'm like, Allie,
no,
I'm not going to forget about this pat on the back for weeks.
I did it. So I got home and I was like, just got home, like had so much fun tonight. Thanks again, you know, like, et cetera. And he wrote back and asked me out on a second date.
Okay, good. So you gave enough of a signal.
I did it.
minus whatever the offsets are. Cute. Okay. Are you going out again this week?
Yeah, we're having dinner on Friday.
I love that. Momentum, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. So he asked if I was free this week. I have to be in the office every day this week, which used to be normal and now is terrible. And so I just have a crazy week. And so I asked him if he was free, like, over the weekend. And so by the time this airs, this will have happened already, but our live show is going to get the very next day's update.
Oh, yes. Yes, we will. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So
if you're coming to if you were at the New York City live show, you got a very, very up-to-the-minute update. on how my second date with Pie Guy went.
Pie Guy. All right. Look at us. Huh?
Yeah. We're moving and grooving.
New year. We're doing it.
We are. And our guest today is also doing it in the new year. I'm honestly kind of inspired by this to like maybe try something similar. This is a male listener of ours who is having his friends manage his Hinge profile for him.
I have had a friend do this before for a little bit.
Didn't you also do this for someone for a bit?
Yeah, I did it for one of my old bosses, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I managed one for a male friend / boss. So that was kind of an office group activity. It was a lot of women in the office being like, dude, just get online. We'll set up the date for you.
Yep.
I was also his personal assistant. So it's like, I will put this on your freaking calendar. Okay. I will put it on the calendar. Make it happen. Yeah. And then I had a friend. I think I went on 2 dates from when she was doing my Hinge for me specifically. So I'm fascinated by this.
I'm excited. We solicited questions from the listeners, both like about this particular thing. And then also we do our Ask a 30-something Man episode. So this is kind of a hybrid story time and Ask a 30-something Man.
Yes. So anyway, without further ado, let's get to our guest.
Let's get to Zach. So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
That's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And we are back with Zach. Hi, Zach. Welcome to Finding Mr. Height, the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. We have a lot of questions for you that we surveyed from our listeners, both about your experience having someone do your Hinge for you and just general Ask a Man. So appreciate you coming.
And here to answer any and all questions.
Yeah, I'm pumped. So firstly, let's go back to the beginning.
Yep.
You have friends managing your Hinge profile for you. How did this come to be?
Okay, so I got out of a relationship last September. So I guess what, 4 months ago or so? Mm-hmm. I went back on a couple apps. So I was mostly on Bumble and then I was on Raya and I was kind of messing around and going on dates. And I guess, you know, things were going okay, but wasn't really connecting. And I was out with my friend. So my best friend in the city lives about 8 blocks from me with his wife. We have a group chat, just the 3 of us. We hang out all the time. We're out one night and they said to me, they're like, you know, you don't have a Hinge profile. I was like, no, I don't. I haven't gotten back on here. And they said, why don't we make one for you?
Oh, is there an idea?
Wait. I was like, wait, what do you, what's kind of behind this? What's it like? Well, you know, clearly, you know, you've been in relationships. You've had many relationships over the years. None have, you're not married, you know, you're 36. You're not there yet.
Finally, some male shade happening.
You maybe have some issues with who you're choosing to go on dates with. Okay. Or maybe we can, and maybe we can do it better. Maybe like we'll do something better and we can be sort of your advisors on this. What I didn't know was in the background, another one of my really good friends and his wife were also involved in this plot. So there's there's a little board of directors, so to speak. So there's 4 people who are pseudo involved in this. So my friend and his wife, I said, so how would this work? They said, okay, we make the profile. We'll answer the, you know, we'll pick who to match with. We'll answer the first few messages. And then at some point we'll exchange phone numbers and pass it off to you. I said, all right, why not? We'll give it an experiment. And kind of what I agreed at the beginning was to be as open-minded as possible. So I said, you know, I will have veto power. If there's someone you send me and I really don't think I will want to go on a date with them, I can say no. But I'm going to try to say yes as much as humanly possible.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So at what point are they showing you the people before you get to veto? Because if you're already at phone number exchange and then you veto someone, that's rough.
I know. So generally, it's right around the phone number exchange when they get it, they'll send me. They'll say, "We have another one for you. Her name's blah blah blah." Quick, like couple bullets, and then what they do is they do a screen recording as they scroll through her profile, and scroll through the messages. So I will say, when they find someone that they want, they kind of try to go to phone number super quickly. Because I think what they don't want to have happen is they start the discussion, and obviously they're not me. They're trying to imitate me a little bit, but they're not perfect. So they don't want this big disconnect to happen between the me that shows up on text, and the person that they talk to on Hinge. So I basically, at that point, they have the phone number in the chat usually, but no one's texted or anything. And I get the profile, and then I kind of decide, oh, am I going to text this person or not? There's only been one that I said I veto. Like, I actually don't want to go out. And they pushed, and they actually asked to do it as a favor. So I said, okay. I said, okay. I was like, all right, you know, it's a date, fine. And if I hate it, I hate it, but I'll do it. I'll do it, and I'll go out with this person. And that actually ended up going well. So I'm kind of, having had that happen, I am now kind of, whoever you send me, I'm going to say yes.
Interesting. So you tried to veto and they vetoed your veto.
They went hard. My friend's wife went pretty hard at me on that one. She was like arguing as to why, and you should do this. And so I kind of said, okay, if you're this passionate about it, if you're this invested, then sure.
Well, I'm like, if the whole point is you don't pick the right people, I wouldn't even give you veto power. Like, I'd be like, okay, with all your failed relationships, okay, you don't get the veto.
Yeah,
you
know?
Well, because can I ask you a question? Can you be honest with us?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
What was the reason you wanted to veto? Was it attractiveness? Did you just not feel attracted to this person?
It was attractiveness. It was. Yeah. I looked at the person. I was like, I don't think I'm going to be attracted to this person at all.
And you were wrong?
I was wrong. So I was wrong. I was wrong. And I honestly, if I were an anonymous person, I would give her feedback that she needs to put different pictures on her profile because she looks much better in person than she does in her profile photos. And
well, don't tell her. Other people.
No, that will never come out of my mouth. But
yeah. You shut your mouth, Zach. All right.
Yeah.
But mark this day, January 15th, 2024, a man had openly admitted he was wrong on a podcast.
Yes.
All right. I like you a lot, Zach, so far. Okay.
I had a guy once tell me that if we stopped dating, I should improve my photos because I look better in person.
Oh my God.
Ooh, what?
That's
damn. See, I feel like it's kind of, I don't know if we want to debate this, but I kind of like that I show up even better than you
me
thought
too.
I was going to show up, you know?
I don't want to
sell, over deliver.
I don't want it to be to the point where someone's going to not want to go out with me.
Right.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of shit over the years from friends about my passport and driver's license photos because they're horrendous. But I always ask them, I said, if you're showing someone your passport, your driver's license, you're in front of them in person. So who cares?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, you're not using those on your profile.
No, I'm not using those on your profile. Exactly.
And unless you're trying to date all the TSA workers, then, you know, maybe go get a new photo. But
no, I've never met anyone in the TSA line at the airport.
You never know.
So by the way, I have also never seen this Hinge profile. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what my profile looks like. I don't know what the prompts are. I have some idea based on some things women have said to me via text and on dates about some of the things that might be on there. But I don't know. I don't know. I have never seen it.
This just unlocked a whole other area of questions. So how did they get pictures of you? Did you send them a bunch?
I sent them a dump. I sent them a dump of like 15 photos. From what I know, they actually swapped in a couple that they had themselves.
From the content of your ex-girlfriends.
Having been many photos like, over the years together and things, they popped in a couple of their own.
Yeah.
But that's how it started. But then I don't know what prompts they chose. I don't know what the bio says. I don't know. That's a couple small little questions at the beginning, I think, for some of the like, is smoking a deal breaker or things like that. But
yeah.
They didn't give me any input on the design of the profile itself.
I am. So are there moments in conversation where you're just like going along with what you clearly realize is something they have read on your profile?
Yes. Yes. It's happened once, where I, Mr. Brightside was referenced, and apparently there's a prompt where it says that I will show you a video of me singing Mr. Brightside on like the fourth date or something. Oh. I don't even know.
Oh shit.
And someone referenced that to me and they brought it up a couple times and I'm in my head. I'm like, what? Like what? I'm sure there's a video that exists. I'm sure there's a video somewhere of me singing Mr. Brightside at the top of my lungs, but I don't know which one it is. So I had to kind of be like, oh yeah, I probably do have a video. I'll have to find it sometime. Caught me completely off guard. I did not know it was there.
Okay. I have a question. Yeah. So I imagine through this process, you've had to be very clear about what you want and what you're looking for.
Yes.
So if I was to ask you, what are you looking for? What is your answer?
Oh boy, that is a tricky question. I'll give it a second to think.
You just said you know.
You're like, I know. That's
I
true.
Know.
Here's, I do. Here's the, I guess, the twist on this with them managing my profile. The implication of them managing and them choosing is that maybe I don't know as much as I should. What I think I want is maybe not the right thing for me. So I'm trying to answer the question in a way that articulates what I think I want versus maybe how they're managing my profile. So I'm pretty broad. I age range like 28 to 37 is what I've said. I'm 36.
And you're 36, right? Yeah.
36. Yep. I want someone who has a career. I want someone who has a career and that's important to them and it's part of their life. I guess, you know, I tend to go for women on the taller side, but it's not a deal breaker, but like, I think like a 5 foot tall would be kind of tough for me, but again, I didn't put that as a deal breaker, but generally on the taller side.
That would be tough because you're what, 6'4"?
6'4", yeah.
Yeah.
Most of my exes have been like 5'7 plus. So that's kind of like, that's the range I usually play in, but it's not a deal breaker. But that's one. I don't want to say cynical. Cynical is not necessary. But like, I'm not going to say doesn't take themselves so seriously because that is the worst prompt on any dating profile ever. I hate it. Yes. It's miserable and I hope it disappears. But
it's so funny that you say that because one of the questions we got that I didn't write down to ask is what do men mean when they say someone who doesn't take themselves too seriously? And I couldn't tell you
and I've never put it on a profile ever. But what I mean is someone who can, here's what I say, someone who can laugh at themselves. That's sort of what I mean. So my last ex was Australian and Australians are famously, I wouldn't say cynical, but not too serious. Everything's kind of can be a joke. And while we didn't work out and I have nothing bad to say about her at all, she's a phenomenal person. Something of that nature of, you know, can make a joke about things, can like crack jokes about things that other people might say, oh, this, you can't joke about this. Like, that sort of thing, that type of sense of humor, definitely some adventurousness. I love food. I love trying new places. I love going around the city. I won't say travel because everyone says travel and it's bullshit. And I probably am not at like the outlier end of travel, but someone who's willing to try new things.
I think fun and open is what it means when I see it. Someone who wouldn't veto everything, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Someone who wouldn't veto everything. I think a deal breaker for me would be like very religious person. Luckily in New York, that's not really much of an issue. But like if someone is on their profile, you know, Jesus first, I'm like, no, not for me. Not my thing.
Okay. And then what you're looking for sounds like more serious relationship.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure. Like I want to meet someone that I will, you know, hopefully marry. Doesn't have to be tomorrow, but like I'm not sprinting towards this. I'm perfectly fine how I am, but I would like to meet someone who I want to marry and spend, you know, the rest of my life with. That's the goal.
I love that. This sounds very fun to be your friends in this scenario I'm sure they're having the time of their lives.
They are.
Yeah. Allie's itching to get involved in this profile here. Yeah, I was like, can I join the board, please?
There's been some tension. I would like to join the board. There's been some tension at times.
Oh.
This wasn't, let's say, an exclusive contract. I didn't say I'm going to delete all my other apps and stop meeting people and whatever. I was like, I'm going to do my own thing. And then you can also do the thing on my behalf. So. Right. This creates a degree of, I'd say, competition between, you know, for time and for attention and things. We actually created a shared Google spreadsheet where I put down all my availabilities.
Amazing.
Running out of like when I'm free, when I have dates, etc. They will kind of see people that I've kind of matched with and I'm going out with that was not sourced from them, from somewhere else. And I feel like they are intensely critical of anyone who they didn't source.
Of course. Yeah, obviously.
They want the time for their people. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like it gets to the point sometimes where it's wild.
I get it though. Cause I'd be like, hey, but I'm putting in work for you. And then it's like, do you trust us or do you not trust us? So you're still on multiple apps. Sounds like you're doing your Bumble, they're doing their Hinge.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then believe it or not, I still do meet people in person on occasion.
I believe it. You're 6'4".
You can see everyone at the same time.
Oh, women just approach you? Shocking.
So how many dates have you been on now? When did this start, first of all?
So this started, I want to say, like the beginning of December, maybe late November. So I think right around that time frame is when.
And how many dates have you been on, first dates?
So I've been on 5 first dates that they've sourced. Oh. Probably would have been more, but holidays and everything kind of, and I was sick for a little while and all this kind of other stuff. So 5 first, 3 of them, I'd say 2 of them were kind of, I want to say duds, just meh. Not bad people, but just nothing was there. 1 was good and probably would have merited a second date, but it was around the holiday time and we never were able to kind of find it. And I kind of wasn't so good that I was going to keep pushing after weeks to find the time. The other 2, 1 I've gone on a 4th date with.
Oh, wow. So has she seen the Mr. Brightside video?
No, she's seen another video. Because honestly, I've tried to find a Mr. Brightside video. I haven't found one yet. Maybe my friends have one of me.
They must.
Maybe I need to get it from them. But yeah, amazing. But she has not seen it yet.
Okay, wow, 4 dates. And the other one?
The other one, we went on a second date recently, and I hopefully will go on a 3rd date soon. But yeah.
This is sounding like a success.
It has been a success, and I think it's pushing me outside of what I might normally do and causing me to re-examine, I think, some of my predilections and biases in this regard. So,
question. How many dates about for you? Do you feel like you know you only want to date this person exclusively?
Man, that is a really good question.
Because you're at 4, which in New York City I feel like is 10.
Way too soon.
So,
and how long has it been since your first date? Like 4 dates over how long?
Over, I'd say 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. So 3 weeks is not very long. Yeah.
Yeah. 4 dates over 3 weeks. And some of the dates have been lengthy. I would also say. So the last 2 dates were probably 5 to 6 hours each, maybe more. Not there yet. Like I will say, you know, for me and take this as you will, I'm not going to be exclusive with someone until I've slept with them.
Fair.
It's kind of, very for fair. Me, it's like
gonna be
too
my
much,
next question.
It's too important to kind of be like, okay, we're going to be exclusive and then we'll find out how the sex is. Like,
yeah, don't. Terribly
so there's that. I only want to be exclusive with somebody when I kind of find myself that they're the one I want to see all the time, that I will cancel other things for them. I will bump other dates. I will so I don't have a time frame. I kind of have, when I get to that feeling, that's when it's time to be exclusive. And it sometimes it happens in 4 weeks. Sometimes it happens in 2 months. So I can't give you a formal locked answer on that, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, I was curious with the sleeping with people, if that also is a tension with your friends, if they're kind of like, hey, we're setting you up with these women, right? If you start sleeping with one and you still want to be dating, you know, however many other people, I was curious if that had yet to become a tension where they're kind of like, hey, man, we're setting you up on dates for intention. You can't be sleeping with all these women and dicking around.
We have conversations about if I'm sleeping with somebody. The conversation is, what is this? And if it's like, oh, you're just, this is friends with benefits, call it whatever you want. They don't really care about that. They're like, fine, whatever. Do what you want. That's fine.
Yeah.
Where it's come up is, let's say it's one of the people I'm seeing. And then maybe it's like, at this point, it's hypothetical. But, you know, that has come up. But they always ask if I'm seeing somebody and sleeping with them. Like, oh, is this just messing around or what is this? And so that's come up in conversation.
At any point, do you plan on telling any of the women that it wasn't you originally? Or have you?
I will tell them if and when I think we get to the exclusivity point. But before then, I don't really see the upside of doing it.
I don't know. Would you be offended if this was you, Allie? Some guy quickly asks for a date and you find out he's having his friends do it because he's trying to date more seriously.
I don't think so. I think I would only feel misled if we had had some sort of long, drawn out communication, which it sounds like they're not doing.
No, it's honestly, most of the time, it's like 3-4 messages and then straight to the number.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if someone really cared, because it'd be different if you were like, my one guy friend's really good at Hinge and he's always getting laid, so I was like, do my Hinge for me, bro. You know, like, it's not that vibe. If anything, it also sounds like you're kind of delaying sleeping with people as well, because it's like you got somebody to report to, you know?
You've got a board of directors that you're responsible to.
I do. And sometimes they can be overbearing. They very much want to meet the woman I've been on 4 dates with. And so they keep trying to force me into like accidental run-intos. And,
oh, hell no.
And I'm kind of like veto. I'm like, no. We can do. So fourth date, we actually did meet a couple that I'm friends with who are on this board of directors, but it was actually somewhat organic and made sense and was okay. And I ran it by her. I was like, oh, my friends are in the neighborhood. Would you be okay grabbing a drink with them before they get dinner? And she was very down for it and et cetera. But they've tried to shoehorn way worse. Like, oh, you know, we just finished this thing together and you're going on your date. We should come with you. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't. No, you should not.
So we got a few questions here about first dates. So the first one, what point during a first date do you know you want a second date or not?
Ooh, this is a tricky question.
And I'm curious if you feel like it's changed with the full blindness kind of going in by your friends, or do you feel like it's kind of the same, whether you set up the date or your friends do?
I think it's pretty much the same whether I set it up or they do. It's definitely changed over the years. Like, it's the, whether I want a second date or not. You know, when I was younger, it was a lot of, do I want to sleep with this person? And if I do, then we're going to go on a second date.
Yeah. There it is. We've talked about that on this pod so many times.
Yeah. But when you were younger, so what is it like now?
No, it's not, that's not the case anymore. That's not the case anymore at all. I would say it's usually probably 20 to 30 minutes in. Once I've gotten a feel for how the conversation goes, whether we have some things in common, you know, just that. And then I find that 20 to 30 minutes is fairly predictive of the whole date. Like, if you have a good first 30 minutes, it's very rare that it kind of drops off after and something happens. You're like, oh man, this was really not great. If it starts off pretty well.
That just happened to me.
Eric and I are laughing because she had a date that took like a horrifically hard left turn.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know, like 30 minutes in I would have said second date for sure. Second half, I don't know what happened. Anyway,
let's never speak again. Yeah.
I agree with you. Very rare that really that happens. Very rare.
Yeah.
All right, I'd say 20 minutes is fair, because I'm also curious, this has come up on this pod and it's something I'm trying to do. A lot of people debate, should you do some type of like phone call or something before going out? Now, what's the male opinion on that? A girl says to you, hey, how about we have a quick call before we go out? What's your feelings on that?
I hate it. I mean, just to be blunt, I hate it. I'm not really interested in it. I find that, you know, I'm like most guys. My phone calls to my friends are either non-existent or they're, hey, are you here? Okay, see you in 3 minutes. Bye. That's the extent. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really a phone guy. And to me, the point of going on a date is to meet in person. Like, that's why I don't spend, you know, 40 minutes on the app texting back and forth with you. I want to go out and meet you in person, see how we interact. So to me, a phone call is not really predictive, number one, that well. And number two, like, I have limited amount of time. Like, I can't be scheduling time to sit down on my computer with people and do FaceTimes or whatever. I want to spend my time actually out with people on dates. So I generally am anti-phone call.
Fair to have the opinion.
Oh, yeah, totally. Because I agree. I don't like it either. What if a woman said that she would prefer that and like asked if you're down?
So this is not hypothetical for me. I've had it happen. I've had women ask to do that and say, you know, I don't like to go on dates unless it's, you know, unless I've had a phone call first. I've done it once or twice, but I dislike the experience so much that I've kind of, now if that comes up, I'll just say, okay, I think we're probably not like a, and I'll move on. I'll say it's rare that I'm so excited about someone from an app that I'm like, oh my god, you're so special that I have to do this phone call that I don't want to do to meet you.
Interesting. Because especially with the person you wanted to veto, yeah. I felt like that would have been a nice compromise that you said to your friends, I don't really feel like I want to meet her. I'll do a FaceTime instead for like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
As kind of a like, so I'm not rejecting this person. And then upon that FaceTime, you could see what you saw in person where you went, oh, she's more attractive than her pictures. I was about to veto this person and okay. Not saying you should have done that, but if I was your friend, I would have probably pushed for like a compromise like that personally.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, but it's interesting because you have every right to hate the phone call. There's many people that do. And we've had people suggest on the show doing that. Because the argument I feel like is, if he says no to the phone call, he isn't looking for something serious, which you say you are.
Yeah,
so I guess that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, what we think.
I would say it doesn't.
So on these first dates, you know, you mentioned that it's a little bit into the date that, you know, you want a second date. And maybe when you were younger, it was more about just attraction. So how do you feel about that phrase, the spark? I say this having just gotten a text yesterday. I went on two first dates on Saturday. And one of them texted me on Sunday saying that he just didn't feel the spark.
Yeah.
And I didn't either, but I did want to go out with him again because like I had a good time with him and thought maybe something could develop. He clearly wasn't interested in that possibility.
I don't mind the phrase because I know what they're talking about. I know what it means. It's fine. I am not a love at first sight, head over heels type of person at all.
Okay.
Like it takes me time to get to know someone and then I get more invested, which I think relates back to your question about exclusivity. Like it takes time for me to kind of really be in this and like, oh my God, I want to spend all my time. Like I love seeing you. That it's never happens for me on like a first date, second date, no matter what they're like. And the spark, I mean, there's been sparks where it's like, oh, you're really, really attractive. And I want to keep for that reason. But that to me is not dispositive towards dating. That's kind of just, oh, you're attractive. That's it. So I don't put much stock in it. I don't kind of think it's that important to me. I've been told, actually, I've Allie, to your point, I was told a little while back there was no spark after three dates with somebody that she wasn't feeling the spark. And I was kind of shocked, to be honest, given the dates we'd had. Yeah, we'd had three like 3 hour plus dates where we kind of kept sitting and talking and more. Mm. And you know, whatever, at the end of the day, I don't know, who knows, maybe she's not attracted to me, maybe whatever, maybe who knows, you never know what's going on. What I care about is, do we get along well? Can we talk well? Are we down to do the similar things? Are you, you know, you say yes. Like if I say, oh, there's this other great place we want to go, like we check it out. Yes. Is there some degree of the attraction that's there? You know, that's what I care about. It's not, oh my God, I can't stop thinking about this because I don't get that way. I really don't get that way.
That's really refreshing.
So what's interesting is earlier you were like, there are some dates that were meh, I believe is the term you use, right?
Yep.
So you're not a spark chaser, but then you're like, a date is meh. That makes me not want another one. So sounds like it's like we're all looking for something in the middle, right? We don't expect the date to be amazing first date, but we don't want it to be meh. What makes a date meh to you?
Ooh, that's a good question. Usually it's a struggle on conversation. I feel like I'm getting nothing. I feel like I'm getting not monosyllabic, but you know, short to the point answers to most questions. There's not an easy flow. It at worst, it's kind of where it feels like I'm pulling teeth, where I'm like going through 20 questions and trying to get responses out of them. But you know, the meh dates are kind of just where there's no back and forth. There's no kind of joking. There's no kind of, it feels like a job interview. That's the meh date where it's like, oh, I found out about your parents. I found out about what you do. I found out, and that's it. Like, so those are kind of the meh ones where it's like, it wasn't awful. I mean, I will say, you know, and I know this is different for women. I've been on hundreds of first dates in New York over the years. I've had one that I would ever say was awful. The rest were, you know, middling or fine or whatever.
Fine people, not your people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or like, I don't know if you've ever felt this. Sometimes I'll feel this on a date where during the date, I don't necessarily feel like it's work, but I do feel like we don't have the flow. But then when I like afterwards get home, I feel drained.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like I suddenly realize like, ooh, I was working on that date to try to get that flow happening, you know? or taking themselves too seriously. Am I right?
By the way, super common on women's profiles too. It's not just men.
Really?
Super common on women's profiles, yeah.
Yeah, I see it a lot when I do profile reviews, because most of the profile reviews I do are women, because that's who follows me. And there are plenty of things that men need to stop doing on dating app profiles. Same thing for women. They're not, most of them don't cross over. That one is one that does.
Yeah.
That they ask the other person, don't take themselves too seriously? Or is it women saying, I don't take myself too seriously?
No, ask the other person.
Oh. Yeah. Any other things stick out to you that women repeat on profiles?
Yeah, tropes that you say.
Dirty martinis, huge these days. Everyone's favorite drink is a dirty martini, and it's all over the profiles. My friend's wife, who's managing my profile, said that she felt like there was a convention of New York women that declared the dirty martini the drink of 2023, and she missed it, and nobody told her. Because of how often she sees it on the profiles. The other one, and this one drives me nuts, is women who say they enjoy going out and they also enjoy a good night in. I'm like, what does that tell me about? It tells me absolutely nothing.
It tells me every person. You like to do everything?
Yeah.
That's every person.
That's a pretty common one. But other than that, there's no fish photos for women. Like there's nothing like that.
Yeah, that one, I get what they're trying to do, but like it's so general. It's not specific enough to actually tell you anything about the person.
It's really not.
Be more bold and pick one. What one do you genuinely like doing more? Be real.
I completely agree with you. The other only one, this is maybe going to be controversial. Stop putting your first photo as you and a much more attractive friend. Like
What are we doing?
It's a killer. It's a killer.
I think any one-on-one photo, I like group photos because I feel like it like tells me what it'd be like to be in your life.
Yeah.
And like if you're doing something fun or whatever. One-on-one photos, well, first of all, you should never be with a person of your desired gender. Like that's just a disaster. But like you and a girlfriend or like you and a guy friend, even if you don't think, I'm uploading this with someone who's more attractive than me, inviting comparison is just never a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea. It's never a good idea.
Can I ask this? How do you feel about seeing a photo where someone puts like an emoji over the other person's face? Because that's very common.
It's super common. It is on women's too? Oh, it is. It is.
Wow.
It's quite
okay.
I don't mind it. It's. Do I think it's? You could probably choose a better photo and maybe not do that. Sure, I do. But does it turn me off? Does it really bother? No, not really. I'm just like, okay. Now I kind of know which one you are. It's easy to pick out quickly.
I once saw a girl's profile that any other people in the pictures, she just photoshopped Drake's face on.
I like that.
I found that entertaining.
Yeah.
Because you kind of, at a quick scroll, you don't even fully notice. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, is Drake in every photo? But I thought that showed a good sense of humor, you know, and it was her way of basically being like, clearly I am not Drake. I am the other person.
Yeah, no, I think I love that. If I saw that, I would immediately catch my eye. It would be something I'd find very interesting.
So we got a bunch of questions about date attire.
Okay.
First, I'm curious, do you have a go-to date outfit?
It's interesting. I've thought about this over the years because my dating kind of, I'd say seriousness has declined quite a bit since when I was like 22, I was calling you for a date every time. I was picking you up from wherever you live.
What?
Excuse me? Oh, yeah. You were taking the subway in New York City to pick, because you've lived here the whole time, right?
Yes. Yeah, I was taking the subway to where you were, picking you up, and then we'd either walk or Uber or whatever to, you know, where we were going.
I think I've passed away.
Back. Yeah, I got very lazy and that stopped. And I used to always wear like a button down. There was always a button down and jeans usually on a date. And
I think that's nice.
A few times I wore like polos or t-shirts, and just from observation, it didn't seem to matter as to the outcome. Like it wasn't like I was wearing button downs and having much better dates than anything else. So now it kind of can often be very casual. Like I would legitimately wear a t-shirt and jeans on a date.
But would you ever wear shorts and flip flops?
No, God, no. Shorts,
good.
Never.
Okay.
Shorts, never.
That's
ever,
the bar
ever.
That I hope you never cross. Okay.
Because also, because we got women writing in about like guys showing up in, you know, sweats or like,
oh, God, no.
Or like ratty jeans and t-shirts.
Oh, God, no. I would never wear like a ratty anything. I would never leave the house like that, to be honest. Sorry. Correction. If I'm going to the gym, I really don't give a shit. I'll wear the nastiest. That's
fair. Yeah, fair.
But other than that, no.
Yeah. So you don't condone the men that women are writing in about showing up in, like, basically what you described to the gym.
I guess my experience is New York. I've never seen it in New York. Like, the places where I'm going on dates, if a guy walked in like that, everyone would be like, what the hell is he doing? Like, kind of, this is weird. This is abnormal for this. But I guess in a lot of other places, especially, I guess, where it's warmer, I've seen this behavior, and I guess it's can be more common.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually can't think about a date I've been on. I'm curious if you can, Erica, where the guy has shown up and I'm surprised by his outfit. Not in like I've had guys where I'm like not that into his outfit, let's say, but not where I'm like, that's inappropriate for the setting.
I mean, I've had the cargo shorts and flip-flops and I was annoyed.
Oh, yikes.
Because I'm like, dude, the steps women have to take to get ready is just more than you. So it's like the least you can do is full pants and cover your toes. Unless you freshly came from a pedicure, cover your freaking toes.
No open toes. Know?
Like, I'm just like, okay, that's real low effort there. Because I'm curious to ask you, do you feel like a woman's outfit on a date can at all influence the vibe, energy of the date, or makes a difference to you?
Yeah, for sure. And I don't mean in a sense, is it revealing or is it not? That I don't care. This is not what I'm going on the date for. But I'll give an example. I recently went on a date, two dates, and I think probably going on a third, with a woman who works in fashion and has for a long time. And I don't, always go out with women who work in fashion, but she came and she was very put together. Like very clearly spent a lot of time picking out her outfit and what she looked like. And it was kind of impressive, but it was impressive not because she looked so much better than I think like other people. It was impressive that she clearly put thought into it. And that to me was, it added something. It did add something, but most of the time, no, most of the time it's just, are you presentable? Do you look like you're not out of place? Kind of, all those things. Yeah, and honestly, if a woman shows up on a first date in New York and it's like super revealing outfit, I honestly not it's not good. It's not a good thing. It's kind of like,
interesting.
We're at this nice cocktail bar and you're kind of look out of place. What's going on?
Yeah. Like then maybe she's not looking for the same thing you are.
Yeah. Something along those lines.
So what I took from that is, number one, sounds like you like a strong sense of style.
Yes.
It's like someone comes in, it's like, this is their sense of style. I already feel their vibe based on that.
Yes.
Okay. Not anti, because there's been rhetoric we've talked about here where it's like men rank a woman in a dress as like the most attractive thing.
No, doesn't.
And a lot of times I think it more has to do with like stiffness sometimes. Mm. Like, let's say the girl came right from work and she's, something real corporate. She's in full suit. Does that probably feel a little more stiff to you? Probably. And it's not to say that person doesn't look good and they're not attractive, but it's like sometimes, your image does reflect your energy a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. That can happen.
So when you're swiping on your own, like because you're doing your own Bumble right now, said, right?
Yep.
Yeah. We know what we don't like to see. Oh, and wait, we got to talk about Raya. Hold on. What do you think of Raya? Do you like it?
It's okay. It's not great. It's okay for a couple reasons. It tends to attract a crowd of people who I'm probably a little less interested in dating. Not that it's exclusively that. Like, there's plenty of regular people on Raya, but you get a lot of. By the way, I had no idea that there are so many jewelry designers in New York. Apparently, there's a million of them. But you get people who, like, I look at their profile and I'm gonna say some, I guess, stereotypical things, but it's like filler and Botox and like everything's posed and there's a lot of selfies here and kind of like that's not what I'm really looking for. But there are also just some like normal, like I've been on dates with a doctor from Raya, with a lawyer from Raya. Like the response rate is also wildly low. I think it's like infamous on the app. People's profiles sometimes reference how low the response rate is. So it's okay.
I've heard people that I know, first of all, I'm like so curious about their selection criteria because it seems like there's just like such a wide swath of people and yeah. I'm not jealous at all. I haven't been on the wait list for years or anything like that.
Me too. Me too. It's insane.
But I have heard from friends that are on it that they barely go on dates and they're like trying to. It's not like they're not paying attention to it.
No, it's like, I think of every maybe five messages I send, I get responses to two. And then that's just a first response. And this is people I've matched with.
Right.
And then it's from there, it's like, maybe you'll get to a few messages, then maybe a phone, like it's, things die out from inertia very quickly on Raya because people just don't respond. So it's, I don't know, I hadn't really engaged with it much. I got on it years ago when it was fairly new. I got a referral from a friend and I got on, and then I was in a relationship for a long time, so I never really used it. And then I kind of reactivated. I dug it out of storage when I became single again. And it's probably responsible for 10% of the dates I've gone on since I became, not more. It's if it were the only place I was finding dates, it would not be good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's consistent with what I've heard.
Also, when you said you really wanted someone like career oriented, are there certain careers that you don't say yes to because of that?
Ooh.
And like how judgy are you of other women's careers?
I'm kind of judgy. I've joked with my friends. So this is a reasonable thing. I don't particularly want a woman whose dream is to be a stay-at-home mom. If that's someone's dream, more power to you. That's not what I would like in my future.
Totally.
And we joke that there are certain careers that are like stay-at-home mom in training.
Listeners might not like that, but I appreciate the honesty.
I would say, I mean, the one that we joke about all the time is, especially in New York, I think interior designer is like a pretty classic one. So I grew up here. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and it was great for my parents, and that worked for them. I know so many people whose moms were interior designers who did it like 10 hours a week as like a hobby on the side. And so there's certain ones like that. That's the one we joke about the most, but there's ones where it's like, I see a very strong possibility of you quitting your job the moment we get married, if we have a kid, and like, that's your plan. And yes, am I making assumptions? Yes. Are there stereotypes here? Absolutely. But it's definitely their shading. Like if I see you're an esthetician and then I see this other woman who's a lawyer, I'm like, okay, the lawyer probably is more on my wavelength than the esthetician.
So it more sounds like to me, you are more turned off by a job that is somewhat freelance and make your own hours. Because that person could be choosing to do 40 hours, 60 hours, bust their ass, or they could be choosing to do the 10, 15 hour lifestyle.
Yeah, it's less, I think it's less of that. And I think there's probably a correlation of that for sure, because I think that, you know, in my mind, like the regular employment is the more serious career, et cetera. But people can be very successful freelance. What I look at and like, okay, you're freelance and like maybe you dabble in things and maybe there's nothing you're like very passionate about. Like if you're an actress, like if that's what you are and that's your passion and you pursue it and you've had some success, but the work isn't regular, I don't care. That's fine. That's totally fine. Like that's a choice. That's what that career sort of is. But if you're like, oh, I, you know, did this for a little while, then I did this other thing, then I did this other thing, then I did this other thing. Like, oh, you don't seem that serious about anything. And maybe that means we're going to get together and you're like, oh, now we're having a kid. Time for me to stop dabbling.
Yeah, it sounds less correlated to like what the actual job is and more about like how they feel about it. Like I've said before, when I've been out with guys, like it seems like he has a job and not a career. Like he's just doing this thing because he's doing this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know. I not that people's jobs have to be like their whole passion, because I think there's a lot of other things to be passionate about, but no. I get that vibe that you're talking about. Is that something that you bring up on dates? Like what somebody sees for their future in that sense?
It definitely has come up. It definitely has come up in that regard. Often not on the first date, I would say, but subsequently for sure. I've talked about it. I talk about why I think the way that I do, kind of what my experience was in my childhood growing up and sort of that perspective. It is something that comes up in terms of what we see for the future. Kids will come up at points and all kinds of things. I had the first date I had after I was single again was phenomenal chemistry. Phenomenal kind of like, it went 3.5 hours. Lots of like touching, lots of, you know, like touching like on the arm, things like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. And we leave and we have a kiss and she's like, I'm so excited to go out with you again. 2 days later, I ask her out for another date. I'm like, oh, of course we're going on another date. And what had come up very briefly during our date was that I am what the apps would call open to kids, but I am not like, I am dead set on I want kids, like ASAP, let's go, let's have kids.
Yeah.
And that was a problem for her. And she said, I want someone who's enthusiastic and like really driving wants to be a parent. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right. Fair. I mean, I was disappointed because it had been such a good date, but that she said, I just think, you know, given we're both looking for something serious, it's probably not good use of our time to go out again. I said, okay, I guess that's fair.
I almost feel like you and Allie should date now that you said that. But, like biting my tongue. I'm like, have y'all ever gone out? Maybe you two should go out.
When you told me the story of that date, I was like, because I feel the way you do about it. I'm open to it, but not gung ho. When you told me the story of that, I remember you were like, but I would be super excited to have kids with someone. Yeah. And that makes sense. But I think, I don't want to speak for her, obviously, this woman that we don't know, but so much, statistically speaking, so much of child rearing does fall on women and like on the mother. And I totally understand somebody's hesitancy if they're like super excited for parenthood, that they could end up in a situation with a partner that isn't going to be a full partner because they weren't super excited about it from the jump.
Yep. No, I can understand that. I can fully understand that.
Yeah. Side question, what do you do for work, Zach, by the way? I meant to ask that earlier.
I work in marketing at a major consumer goods company.
Okay.
And I've been
because I'm curious also with the career thing. Sorry to bring this back. No. But it's really fascinating to me because I've done an experiment. I'm a comedian full time.
Yep.
So I've done an experiment not even putting my job on my profile. And it is astonishing how men won't even ask that question. Like, won't come up till we're on a date. Truly. Like, so I've found most men like kind of don't even give a shit what you do. So I'm curious with yours as well. Like, I'm impressed because I'm like, I've thought about this sometimes. My hours are kind of reverse. So if someone wanted someone to be home with the kids, I'm like, I could do that. But you got to be cool with like, when you come home, I'm tagging you in and then I go out and do my job, you know, or on the weekend, I might be gone if I have to travel. So I'm curious if at all, like this also kind of has to do with a mindset where you're like, I would like to be on a similar schedule to who I'm with. So if I'm 9 to 5, I would like someone who is also more 9 to 5. Is that like at all the thought process in it?
It's not. It's never really been. I think now that you say it, I probably would say yes. That's probably what I would ideally want. But is it a deal breaker? No, not at all. I mean, my last relationship, there were some offset hours because she worked with overlap with some, you know, some foreign markets, like, around the world. And so
that's tough.
Every nights where she was working till 9 p.m. and you know, we weren't, but it worked. Like, that was not, that was the reason the relationship ended, was not that. So it's, is it preferable? Sure. Is it like a deal breaker? Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I know it's a hard balance, especially with kids. Like, I have a good friend. She has a career. She's a PA, but she works overnight shifts at a hospital. Oh. So there's like kind of joy that she can like come home, sleep in, be there when the kids are there after school. But then she has a real challenge of like her and her husband having one-on-one time together because they're kind of opposite, you know? So
yeah.
I'm just curious if men even like think about that stuff.
That happened when I dated a chef. It was like, when we first started dating, he was working the lunch shift at like a really, really nice restaurant in New York. And so he was like really ambitious and like, you know, wanted to like move up the ranks, and it worked, was working really well. And then he got promoted to the dinner shift, which is a bigger deal. But then he was working until 4 a.m. Yeah. We literally never saw each other.
I feel like, what's his name? Danielle's boyfriend on Summer House has given all chef dating.
Robert. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I actually know a few comedians. They end up marrying chefs because they're similar hours.
Makes sense.
And it makes sense, you know? Like, I'm like, that, it makes chefs a little more appealing to me, that I'm like, you know what? When they have to work at night, I'm not going to make them feel guilty. And I would hope, like, I would have the reciprocation, you know?
I think that'd be good. I mean, I went to an elementary school reunion a little while ago, and there's one guy in our class who's a professional chef, and he's successful. He has a restaurant in New York, and he's done quite well.
He has a restaurant in New York now?
Oh, yeah.
Is he single?
I know who you're talking about. Good for him. That's awesome.
I think we're probably talking about someone a little different. This guy has been divorced twice by, you know, he's 36. So,
oh, different person.
Yeah, different
so
person.
He is single. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Did my question just get answered? Yeah. He is single? Thank you. He's single. I would love to meet your friend, Zach. Anyway, continue. Yeah.
But no, it's I feel like with chefs, there's a bit of that like stereotype where it's the job just creates so much chaos in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. The party culture also in that industry.
Oh,
is
my God.
Wild. Yeah. Well, this has been amazing. There's so many other things we could ask you. Unless Erica, you have anything else? I have a question I want to end on.
I have one. Okay. It's kind of a two-parter. One, somebody asked, or a couple people asked, what are some good places to meet men that aren't just in a bar? So you said you meet some women out in public.
Oof.
What are some good places you would suggest?
Somebody else asked, you're a 30-something man, where are you?
Women ask this.
Where are they?
I literally have coworkers who are like, where do like you and your friends, where are you? You know,
where are you?
Where are you, Zach? Where do they live?
I don't know if I'm the best person to ask this because I'm still like, if I meet you in person, it's usually at a bar. I mean, it's almost always at a bar.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I'd say if this is what you want to do, go to like a sports bar. But go in like a neighborhood that's not wild. So like a Tribeca sports bar.
I was about to say, if you live in New York,
probably a great option.
Tribeca sports bars, because they're not crowded, so you can actually
talk to people.
They're
not crowded. You can talk, and like they're more expensive. A little bit of an over. Yes, the neighborhood's a little. People are more established.
Maybe places that aren't doing like pitcher deals.
Yeah, 100%. But I will tell you. I mean, you would actually. It's unexpected sometimes. So. There's a bar in New York called Blue Haven, which is on, there's a couple of them, and they are notoriously wild, like fratty sports bars. I was there last weekend because my friend who has a 4-month-old was allowed out of the house for 4 hours to watch football, and he wanted to go as hard as humanly possible. Side note, parents of young kids are the most dangerous people to drink with, like you can never find. So we're out at Blue Haven and there's a huge group of people there, like probably 25, 30 people. They're clearly all there together. Like we're doing something. We end up starting to talk with a bunch of them and we just assume they were younger. We're like, they've clearly been out day drinking, et cetera. They were 33 and they were, all of them were like 33, 34, 32. They'd done some bang activity before. They all had gone to Princeton, I think. And like, we're all just hanging out at Blue Haven. So you kind of never know.
Yeah,
there's a party in New York now, which I think would be an amazing spot. So this bar Joy Face on the Lower East Side.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hot spot right now.
That is a hot spot. They've started doing a party from 5 to 10 p.m. on the weekends that is targeted at millennials who want to go home early. So it is literally like chock full of 30 some odd year olds. It's called Matinee. You can follow it on Instagram.
What?
And it just started like 3 months ago. It's blown up. Like it sells out every time. They're going to go away from
tickets. Oh, there's tickets.
There were tickets. I think they're moving more towards like show up at the door type of thing.
Wow.
But yeah.
Erica, I might have to ditch our live show and go to this thing.
Night Moves in Brooklyn generally is a slightly older crowd. What's actually slightly older, and I refuse to go to this place for a long time, even though it's right by me, because of the proprietors and the vibe they usually create. But Jack's on Bond actually generally has like a slightly older crowd.
I haven't even heard of this place.
Yeah, it's from the people behind The Smile and like so very sceney, very kind of, and I really don't like those types of places, but I went because a couple friends took me there. And it actually it's more chill, it's a little bit older crowd, so there's spots. There's not a lot, but there are spots.
Okay.
All right, well now you know everyone.
I know, it was like my second part of this question. I'm curious, is there any situation you're in or setting you're in that you would be turned off by a woman approaching you to like ask you on a date?
No.
There you have it.
Not at all.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
I believe me, just like a man approaching a woman, you may get rejected.
Sure.
Yeah, but no way, shape, or form are going to be upset that you approach me to talk. I will usually be thrilled. Like it happens so rarely to men for the most part that like it's, I know friends of mine who it's never happened to, never in their life has it happened. And so like, it's very exciting. Yeah.
That's what I always say. It's flattering. So even if you get rejected, the person is flattered. You did make their day a little bit, you know? Anyway, we've gone a little long, so we appreciate you coming on the show, by the way. Sorry. I had to fit that question in.
No,
this was awesome. Thank you, Zach.
Allie, did you have a final question? I heard,
I do have a final question. So,
oh,
we can cut this out if your answer is no. But after listening to this episode, I suspect that people in our audience are going to be interested in going out with you. Are you open to that?
Sure. Yeah.
We can figure out the logistics of how that would, how that might work.
I knew Allie was going to fucking make her way onto the board, dude. I told you in the beginning, for a second, I thought Allie was going to ask you out and I got real excited that she was about to do that live. But then like, I told you this bitch was going to get on that board of directors. I fucking knew it. I sensed it the whole time. All right.
Yeah, no, I'm up. I will say there's actually in this day and age, I'm getting set up more than I ever have in the past. And I've been set up by people I just met at a party. They're like, oh, you're single. I have a friend. And
yep.
People should do that more. People should do that more.
Yeah.
It's a new wave.
If you're listening, set your friends up. Okay. We will work out the logistics of this offline.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm excited about it. I'm off the top of my head thinking something similar, like they send me a screen record of their dating profile as if I had come across it. And then we follow the same.
Sure. Sure. We can figure it out. But yeah, sure. I'm always open to it.
I'm pretty excited about this.
I'm sure we will have people emailing in, Zach. So don't
100%.
Worry.
Yes, this is happening. It would have happened regardless. So this will just make it official.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we might have to have a follow-up episode then. If this goes through. We might.
I'm around. I'm available.
Yeah, and you don't get veto power, Zach. Sorry. I know I'm not on the board, but I'm throwing my hat in the ring for no vetoes here.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you again for coming on, dude.
Yeah. Happy to do it.
And we will talk to everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye. All right. I know we said goodbye, but we're back because we have aligned with Zach on how we are going to handle this setup situation.
Yep. We have made an email that you guys can screen record your dating profiles so we get all your information. Send that right to our email, fmhsetups@gmail.com.
Yes, plural. We'll also put it in the show notes. And if you don't have a dating app profile, send us some pictures and some stuff about yourself, like as if you did.
Yeah. Or as you listen to the episode, what do you do for work? I guess that's a top one, which I never thought I would say. But yes, it is a top one. So.
So yeah, send us that. And then obviously you don't know what Zach looks like. So there will be a mutual selection situation. You know, we're not going to make you go on a date with this guy sight unseen because he's going to be seeing you. So email us and we'll go from there.
Yeah. So send your email. Shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot.